This episode is brought to you by Upstart and Burrow. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
You're listening to The Honey-Do with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honey-Do, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Sign up for the email list there. You'll get my dates. I'm coming to Phoenix. I'm coming March 19th through the 21st. And then Vancouver, I'll be coming up there April 23rd through the 25th. Go to my website. There's other dates there for Minneapolis. There's other dates there for Edmonton. I'm going to be hitting some cities this year for sure. So, thehoneydewpodcast.com is the website here. That's where you can follow along on social media, merchandise, all that good stuff. And every week, thank you so much. Thank you for the emails, the messages. Thank you for the positive comments. Thank you for really examining what you're going through in your life and taking this to heart. And so many of you have said you're starting therapy. I can't even get it. I love it. I absolutely love it. So thank you. Here every week we highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I'm very excited to have this week's storyteller here. First time on The Honey-Do, ladies and gentlemen. Justin Martindale is
yes,
here, everybody.
It is a pleasure to be
Thank
here.
You so much.
It's going to be a fun one.
I can't wait. We have been trying for this.
We have been.
And I know schedules are always a pain in the ass, but I appreciate your patience persistence. And here you are, young man.
Thank you for the peach tea.
Of course. Before we begin, would you please promote, plug everything and anything you'd like?
Let's see. You can catch me at the Comedy Store on Fridays and Saturdays mainly. I'm on tour with Jim Jeffries right now on his Oblivious tour, so check out dates for that.
Well, I appreciate you being here today.
Oh,
I've been
you.
Dying to talk to you about your Honey-Do life. Yeah. So tell us originally where you're from and sort of, I know there's a childhood story I would like you to tell, but can you just lead us up into that a little bit?
Of my whereabouts, how I grew up and all that stuff. Well,
here, let's put that mic in front of you.
A lot of people don't know this, so this is going to be like a breakthrough. I say I'm from Texas. I am from Texas. I lived in Texas from when I was about 5 to where I am now, or, you know, until I moved to LA. But I was originally born in Florida.
I love how you have
Don't look at me that way. Don't look at me. I know I'm hideous. Can we start this over? No? No, I was born in West Palm Beach, Florida.
West Palm Beach. Yeah.
That bitch,
oh,
you know?
That's real.
So that's where I can like take it back and be like, but.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. So you got your roots
yeah,
in West Palm
Yeah, I was born
Beach,
in Mar-a-Lago. No, fucking no. And then... my mom and dad kind of like had an argument, and I guess my dad was an asshole. My mom kind of took me, kidnapped. So some people call it kidnapped. And I lived with, no Amber Alerts back then. Yeah.
Wait, so hold on. So they have.
Let's just start right off with an Amber Alert.
Wait,
right?
You got to get on this microphone so people.
Am I hotter?
There you go.
Okay.
At what. You don't. What age does she tell you this happens? You're an infant? You're a baby?
Yeah, infant. Yeah.
And they just were out.
She, like a fucking Tammy Wynette song, just packed me up. Granddaddy came and we got in the car. Like that. Didn't look back. We were driving so far. Like, so we wound up in Tennessee. And my mom raised me there from, as a kid. Yeah. Till I was about 4 years old. And she met my stepdad. They got married at 4.
Okay.
And then we moved to,
Texas?
Laredo, Texas.
Laredo,
which is like a border town.
Yeah.
So all of this white was stood out. They put me in special ed for like a first week because everyone knew Spanish and I didn't.
I think, does the 10, what goes through Laredo? What's the main freeway through Laredo?
Or fear?
Off of it? Highway fear.
Highway fear. Yeah.
I think I'm starting to see Laredo, Texas.
God.
okay, then, so Can I ask you, is your biological father during this time, is he trying to find you, track you guys, or anything?
He said he did. I finally met him when I was about 25.
All right, we're going to come back.
We'll go back to that.
So stepdad, mom, and Justin are now in border town, Laredo, Texas. You're about 5-6 years old.
I have a sister named Andrea.
And how old is Andrea?
She's just born.
Okay.
And then I have two brothers.
Is Andrea from your stepdad?
Yes, all the three kids are. Yeah. And so I have Aaron and I have Paul.
Okay.
Yeah. And I love them. They're great. And then we moved to San Antonio when I was about, I think it was in third grade, and I was in San Antonio all the way. So I say I'm from San Antonio because I spent the most time there.
Yeah. So what are your parents doing, or your stepdad and your mom doing at this time for work? What do they do?
My stepdad is an engineer for Federal Express, and my mom is popping out babies.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And slowly going insane. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So I got to be the oldest of four growing up.
And were you like a religious family? Like, what was the...
We had phases. like I remember like one time we were like really into church and then we got bored. And then like, are we like sleeping in, you know? And it'd be like, but then there, like we kept going through these like weird like phases of faith. We're like, this week we're like, I went to private school when I was like a freshman in high school. Freshman high school till like I was about 10th grade was in private school. Uniforms, everything.
Really?
Yeah, that was intense.
See, it's funny you say that about faith because we didn't have to go to church except, mm-hmm. I was raised Catholic. We didn't have to go to church except on, you know, Easter, Christmas, that kind of shit. But we had to go to Sunday school every Sunday.
See, we didn't do Sunday school.
We didn't have to go to church, but we had to go to Sunday school. I'm like, you're all not in this motherfucking Sunday school. You're just dropping us off and leaving. Where's your faith, goddamn?
Yeah, we went to, like, vacation Bible school and, like, all that stuff. And, like, one day I remember, like, my mom standing up and going down to the front of the church, and all the kids were like, fuck, mom's going down the aisle. Like, all of our buttholes in unison were like, whoop. We sat up straight that day in the pew. And my mom got up there and she was just like, Jesus, talk to me. And we were like, oh, God. Oh, God, mom.
Did she?
Oh,
she's screaming for
she was so filled with his love that day. Oh, my God. And I think that was the first time I kind of realized I was gay because I wanted to just be like, bitch. Like, sit down, queen. What is she doing?
Those are big churches.
It was like a Baptist church.
Yeah, a lot of
mortifying.
Oh, the church.
Yep.
So we talked before, and I guess at 8 years old, you see your first one up here. You got yelled at. I want to hear the story.
So we're in Laredo, and next door was like another white family, and they had a daughter named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was, I guess we went to school together. I can't remember, but they were like really into the church and Baptists and all that. So in Texas, they have a thing called land. So it's like, oh, we're going to go to our land. Okay, relax. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, so they had a house on this land, which means they just have like an acreage of land. And it was like our land. My family didn't have land, so we were trash. But they invited me to go spend the weekend with them on their land. Elizabeth with love, Justin came. And so I remember getting there. They had a house. It was a cabin. And this was the first time I realized I don't really know Elizabeth. So I don't know like her habits. I don't know like her getting ready and all that. Like,
sure.
I'm a boy. She's a girl.
Is she the same age too?
Yeah. And her parents, I don't know them. We never hung out at each other's house. She just fucking invited me one day. So sorry, I got really angry. This is her fault. This story is her fault. So we end up getting there. I find out Elizabeth is allergic to everything. She's allergic to grass. She's allergic to the floor. She has to sleep on a cot, like above ground, so she doesn't die. I'm like, great. I'm a witness. So then one day we go down to this creek, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It all begins with a creek, doesn't it? And it's me, Elizabeth, and her mom. And so I start skipping rocks, right? And the mom's like, Justin, just be careful. You know, you don't want to hit Somebody with the Rock, if you skip it too hard. At that very moment, I'm looking back and I'm like, uh-huh. Ricochet. Elizabeth.
Oh, no.
Right in the fucking face. Without a beat, the mom went from Justin to a fucking she-wolf. It was like, she looks, I swear to God, this is what I saw. She goes, you stupid fucking kid. And I went, oh! Immediately ran off into the unknown. Don't know where. I'm just, just like it might have been a corn maze. I don't know.
A corn maze.
And so the husband, the pastor, runs right past me. I mean, it was aggressively like that. I didn't make that shit up. It was long nails.
Do you remember what she said?
You stupid fucking kid.
She actually said that. Yes. Oh, that's not just what was in your head.
No, no. That's what Jesus wanted her to think. But then the devil made her do it.
You know that actually came out of her mouth.
Oh, I
you stupid fucking kid.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh. Like, my soul was like, no. Like, it was like someone like showed me a Medusa head. I was like, yeah. Yeah. I would have rather that happened. And so we get in the car ride and no one's talking. We're all just sitting there.
Wait,
like,
okay, hold on. Okay. I have questions about Elizabeth over here. Is she bleeding?
Bleeding. Oh. I'm a competitive
Did she
rock
go down?
Thrower.
She no. She go down to take a knee. Take a knee.
She, like, I think she took a knee. Yeah, there was definitely
God. And pastor runs
and
by you. They're running by. Oh God, shrieking. I'm sure. And you've run off
I'm
into
just
the
like,
woods.
Oh fuck! I didn't know where I was going.
So when do you finally stop and realize, fuck, I have to go back?
I think the dad chased me out and was just like, Justin. I was like, huh. And he's like, it's okay, don't worry. Like, because I think he was like, I'm sure he fucking slapped his wife. He was like, did you cuss at him? I got a reputation.
The pastor.
Yeah.
The pastor.
Yeah, just a good old-fashioned pastor slap, you know?
Jesus is between me and you.
Honey,
Jesus.
It's for the Lord.
Oh, he's right.
I felt the love when you hit me.
Karen, what happened? I was reading a book in the shower and I fell. Yeah, it's like spousal abuse is never funny.
Never.
And then so we're sitting in the car and we're just in silence. It was the most I remember it being like you could feel
she
it.
She hasn't apologized or
I don't know if she's alive or dead.
No, I mean the mom, Medusa up front.
Oh. Just wait.
Who are you sitting behind, by the way?
I think I'm with Elizabeth, who's staring out of a window.
Bleeding.
Yeah, just with a
bleeding. Just blood running down her head.
I don't know if there were napkins back then. Back then.
God. Yeah, back then it was so long.
They didn't
ago.
Have napkins. And then I remember us pulling into the driveway. My mom is standing outside. She's like, hey, Justin, did you have a good time? The mom gets out. He had a wonderful time. We had such a wonderful time. We'll definitely have to do it again. Thank you so much for letting him come. All right, you guys have a good night. We'll talk to you later. She didn't mention a damn thing. And I was like, just roll with this. Just roll with this. And I remember telling my mom this story like maybe a couple years ago. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah. She's like, why didn't you tell me? I'm like, because I will never. That look, that werewolf glare sticks with you.
Yeah, you see that.
It was jarring.
Yeah, I'll
and
bet.
I was like, I just remember being like, oh, wow. And I don't remember the last time I saw that.
You tell her, you said, you stupid fucking kid.
You stupid fucking kid. Well, you know what? You stupid bitch. You've haunted my dreams.
It's stuck.
You cunt. God, you Christian cunt.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to get dragged now.
You
cancel
are.
Culture. Justin hates Christians.
Oh, God. That is horrible.
Oh, it's awful. Brutal.
Okay. Man. It is funny. It is so funny how things like that will it'll crazy. That'll be with you until you leave the planet.
Trauma.
That will be
trauma at a young age.
That's what all this is, dude. That's what all this is. Trauma at a young age. It's just what everybody's problem.
And that's why I'm like, I'm never having kids. I don't
It's what absolutely started anxiety and everything for me. So growing up in Texas, what is that like for you? You said what age do you
This is like a this your life kind of thing, yeah?
What age do you realize you're gay? What age?
I always knew when I was young. I think I wanted to say I knew when I was around five.
Yeah.
Because, well, and I also, I just didn't know what it was. Because it wasn't talked about. It was Texas. It was, you know, very strict Christian, Southern values, all that kind of stuff. And it was never really talked about. But I remember, like, I would have, like, crushes on, like, my guy friends. Or, like, it wasn't anything... it wasn't anything crazy for me until I was about, like, when I started hitting puberty, that's when it was just like, oh, shit.
I mean, what a mess for anybody.
Yeah, I'm thinking of some dirty thoughts in my mind, and there's no one to talk to. So you start saying, I mean, I remember going to bed as a kid, like, laying down, and just, like, kind of looking up at the ceiling, and just being like, you know, God, don't make me gay, 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 don't make me gay. Like, crazy. And, you know, I learned how to kind of suppress that, you know, and I was going to, like, private school when I was in, you know, my high school. That's high school, ninth grade. You know, I'm trying to fit in.
Sure.
You know, I'm that stupid freshman, you know, and I'm already getting teased and, you know.
Why?
Well, just because I can rock a uniform and make it stand out.
What kind of uniform?
Well, it's just like a burgundy sweater, gray pants. I had, like, fun, cool, like. 90s bitchy hair, you know, and I was like, cool. I was in theater, you know, shocking. That was my sport, man. I was a competitive.
Where are you?
Theater arts person. Yeah, very competitive.
In what way? What were you taking? Acting?
I was taking trophies. I was taking plaques. I was breaking hearts and taking final curtain calls.
What were you? What were you involved in?
Theater and closeted homosexuality.
So were you sleeping with...
No.
Not in high school?
No.
Okay. Here's a question I want to ask you. Did anyone ever come out to you and you not own up to it at that time? Maybe you weren't ready yet. Did you ever have a friend come out to you to talk to you and you were like, I'm not going to give this out yet? Give it up?
Ooh. No.
No.
I think everyone was just kind of running with it. Because it was just kind of like, all right.
You're being teased because you are excelling in what...
Yeah.
Kids in high school deemed to be gay.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I was also popular. Like, I got along with everybody.
Right. Guys and girls.
Yeah.
And do you play sports at all?
Oh, God, no.
No? No sports?
Mm-mm. Why? Does it look like I could play sports?
You could play something.
Like what?
You could wrestle.
You could be a good wrestler.
God. You have long legs, man.
You
You're tall.
Like my grandpa.
You could ride
you
legs.
You could wrestle.
You could.
Well, I mean, why don't you just get in that ring, boy?
Ride legs just and put them at a half Nelson. You can just win on back points alone.
And when you want to give up, don't tap out. You just check that oil.
Tennis? Golf?
No. Golf? No.
No.
No. I would walk the track with the girls in the high school and get all the hot gossip.
So you're athletic.
Was walking
in a circle and drama.
No. Oh wait, and I was the high school mascot. I should say that.
Yeah, so I'm trying to lead you to it. It's right there. I'm trying to lead you to it.
I forgot.
That is athletic as fuck.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
It's the mascot of the athletic team.
I was in athletics.
The lead of athletics.
The lead of athletics. I was the school spirit. And I'm like, nope, never touch the stuff.
I'll sell it.
I was wearing like,
but I don't fuck with it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I was wearing this fucking mascot suit, doing cartwheels and running around.
What were you? What was the mascot?
I was the cougar.
You were a cougar.
How art imitates life. And then, but it was fun because I actually just watched that documentary Cheer on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
I haven't.
It's
yet.
About the Navarro cheerleaders.
I will watch it.
Life changing.
I will watch it.
Watch it with your daughter.
I promise.
Oh my God. It is so much fun.
What got you into that? What made you think?
I had to pick an elective. And then I remember someone being like, oh, there's mascot tryouts. And I was like, oh, cool. I can get a PE credit for that. Went and got
it. That was a gym credit too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Okay.
And then we actually went to one of those cheer camps that summer. I went to a cheer camp, the NCAA championships in Dallas. I don't know if we placed. I don't think so. But this bitch won the best mascot in the state of Texas.
Did you really?
Fuck yeah,
that's
man.
A big ass fucking state. Man.
I got a baton. Life changing.
Wait. Best cougar in the state of Texas or best mascot?
No, best mascot in the state of Texas. And then there was two of us. We had two cougars. We had two mascots.
Was your high school one of these like massive 5A?
Uh-huh.
I always see. Yep. Like you would never even know everybody in that fucking school at all.
Would you?
Well, you would. You're Mr. Popularity. You, I mean, you're the cougar. What's your high school? The what cougars?
The Clark Cougars.
Clark.
Yep. The Topsy Clark Cougars.
Clark. So two of you both want. So wait, yep. You're a co-champ?
I'm a what?
A co-champion. If there's two Cougars, you both
yeah,
won?
Yeah, she got. There was a, yeah.
It was a female.
Was the, yeah, because we went to a 5A school. You want to know our names?
Yeah.
We had names. Neiman and Marcus. For
that's
life.
A cougar name. It's still that?
Fuck yeah. Is it? It better be. Or did I'll you make name a call. Him? I'll make a call. I didn't name him. No, that was like, oh, okay, I don't even know okay. His name. I remember being that being like, what?
That was tradition. Texas tradition.
That's so funny because I actually put up my Instagram for today was a Throwback Thursday. And it's me and Marjorie. We actually got both. Shout out to Marjorie Baker.
She's the cougar?
Yeah, she was right. She was Neiman with me. And we would get fucked up every now and then under those
that's
cougar
fantastic.
Suits and run around. We did pep rallies and all that shit. We did
what for every sport? Are you like soccer, football,
it was
everything,
football.
Or just football.
Football? I think we did
and
some.
Your
stuff
football's for massive, though,
yeah,
right?
Our football was
yeah.
Massive. Like Varsity Blues, like there goes my hero.
Yep. Did you ever get in any kind of like dance battles or anything with the other mascots that would roll?
Oh
up?
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh God. I thought there was a moment of like, fuck.
I'm
like,
sure.
I'd be like, bring it, bitch.
Yeah, you're the cougar over there.
Two guys in three.
Hey, is that Neiman or Marcus? I'm not sure which one's challenging us, but
just,
I'm ready.
Just two guys in a furry
some
costume
walking like, over to you and shit.
And people were like, who's going to call it? As I fall out of my chair. Can you fags get off the field? We got a game to
yeah,
play. We're like,
guys.
I have a girlfriend.
Half time's been over 20 minutes, guys. Come on, man.
Oh, that was so fun.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Is this? Are we having fun?
I'm
okay, good.
Okay, there's another thing up here next to closeted mascot that you wrote up there. Oh, man. I mean, I don't know. I gotta
I've
be
been called worse.
I so. Know you're hiding in that costume, but everything about you is not screaming heterosexual. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure.
Taking home trophies and drama. Killing it. I love it.
Crushing it.
I loved it.
I was like a romantic. All the girls were like, God, he gets me. He's so dreamy. Yeah.
Was there one person who just knew and you knew they knew? No one you could confide in, no girl you could talk to about it or no. Anything. Nobody. Fuck. What a prison.
Yeah, it sucked. But I dealt with it with my humor.
Of course.
I never got into fights. If anybody tried to fight me, I would use jokes or comedy
sure.
To. Like if I was getting picked on in a classroom, like I'd be the teacher's favorite.
Yeah.
I'd be like, got this. And the teacher, like if anything happened, I'd be like. And they'd be like, you know, expelled and shit. I had, yeah.
Expelled.
Susan, you know what to do.
Your career here is done.
Yeah. I'll give you apples for a week. Take care of this one.
Oh, my God. So you, this one here next to closeted mascot up there, I want to hear about this because I had a story too about.
Homecoming game?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So you won?
I did, yeah.
And it was a vote.
Yeah.
So you must have been crazy popular then.
Well,
I transferred
from that private school to mm-hmm. the public school. So I transferred from a private school
at
where everything
age?
Was like, Jesus,
right.
To like, you know, the high school from Clueless,
right.
You know.
Where everything's like, geez.
Yeah, you're like, whoa, there's the, I mean, no, not Clueless. Clueless was pretty wealthy. It was like Mean Girls. It was
okay.
The cliques and the, like, I identified with all of that.
But what age are you getting in? 14, 15, you're going into this high school?
14, I was at 14 to 15. 14 to 16, I was in private school.
Okay, so junior, 16, senior, you're a public school?
Like second
roughly?
Semester, sophomore to senior.
Okay.
Ew, seconds. Ooh, I was a second semester
transfer. Late, you're a late transfer.
My parents were dicks.
But you, but how many? Do you remember how many students are there? What's an average there now?
Oh, I mean, I think.
I mean, those schools are.
I think
massive.
When I was there, it was 675, and that was a lot for my. And now it's like so developed, San Antonio. It's just like I'm sure it's in the thousands.
Yeah, and you win homecoming king.
Yeah,
and how was that? Was
I mean, I went in my second semester sophomore year, and by my senior year, I mean, I remember doing. I did a play, and I won't give you the year. I did a play. I played Dracula in my high school play, which today people still talk about.
Yeah,
I swear to God. Sometimes I go home and they're like, "You're Dracula," and I'm like, "What?
You see me on Lights Out? Nah, man. But you're motherfucking Dracula.
You?
When you were 17, I'll tell you.
I have never been more afraid in my life. Like, just
yeah.
I mean, but I rocked that shit out. It was badass. It was awesome. And then yeah, I just kind of became this funny guy and like my. My Throwback Thursday, the girl who was the mascot with me today on Instagram, like we won Most Humorous, and like, you know, she was like, she was my chick. If I was ever to confide in anybody, it would have been her.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
But I feel like she always knew.
Okay,
she always knew.
Yeah,
but we never talked about it. So yeah, so they nominated all these guys. I think it was like 20 guys for the title.
And you didn't have to campaign or anything, right? This was just a popularity.
We did have homecoming week. And I remember, like, me and the girl who were campaigning together were like, we're a package deal. Like, we're the theater kids. We got to represent. We went all out during, like, the themes. It was, like, nerd day. And I would, like, dress up and, drop all my books and be like, mwah. God. I love how I said dressed up. I just showed up to school. and then, you know, like we did it all. It was fun. It was a big Texas game. And I made it to the court. So that's like the top five. And then I won the title of America's Next Top Model.
Homecoming King. You don't want to say the year?
No.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, it's 1997. it was like the perfect Texas high school experience. It was awesome. Like all the cliques were great friends. We all did the talent show together. We all, you know, it was fun. We all went to each other's houses. I would like call up my friends and like pretend I was their mom, or I would tell them that I was my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, hi, Kathy, it's Debbie. Just want to call. Yeah, we're having a little sleepover. Just me a little party tonight. So everything's fine. Okay, thank you so much for calling. I was like, we're in. Like,
we're in, yeah.
So I learned how to like do impressions of people and shit.
Now you just track somebody's location. Like, save that motherfucking impression.
I know.
Yeah.
Landline, trash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then I got announced as the homecoming king, and I, you know, didn't. It was crazy. It was because you always think of that shit as like, oh, it's the epitome of high school. And I just remember going in as a no one, and then like 2 years being like something.
I'm still great friends with my buddy who, it was senior prom, and I was pretty popular for good reasons and for other shit, but, there was a king and queen, you know, mm-hmm. of the prom, and they ended up giving it to this couple who had been together, like, you know, that couple that had been together since.
And they're like,
freshman.
We have to give it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had to give it to
them.
They're
so sweet.
And they did. Uh-huh. They gave it to them. But they, and I don't know if there's another one out there, but I ended up winning the Prince of the Prom.
Wow.
Which, by the way, I've never fucking heard of a prince and princess.
Yeah, that's like a.
That's a fucking consolation.
Where was
bullshit.
This?
This was my high school senior year in Maryland.
Maryland. Oh, yeah.
Prince of the Prom.
Baltimore.
So my buddy. And we get back to school on Monday, and the guy that won King, he's in our gym class, and, you know, it's post-gym class. Everyone's in their, you know, underwear changing to go back to class.
Careful.
And they start chirping at each other over this. And my friend's like, you know that shit's bullshit. You know Ryan won that. And he's like, I don't think Ryan won anything. They gave it to
they
me.
They were pissed.
They were in their tighty whities, and they start going. My buddy went to fist fight this guy because he felt like they did me wrong. And I'm just watching. I'm
he
like,
deserved to be the prince.
I was like, you let it. Go ahead. Fight him in your underwear right now so I should tell him I should have been the king. If that's not like, some king shit right
yeah,
there,
that's like a,
I
like
mean,
a,
I won.
What's
yeah.
the? That's like some Breakfast Club shit.
Yeah, it was so funny.
Like 80s, like, what, you think you're going to win Prince? Meet me outside by the willow trees. Yeah.
You ever hear of any Prince of the Prom?
No.
any princes of the prom
just
out there, hit me up.
Hit
please,
him up. Hit me we need up. To know your story.
Know, I want to know if there's any other of us out there. All right.
What if you were the only surviving prom prince?
I would. Oh, I'm, the I'm last lean of your kind. I'm gonna lean into it, bro.
Or what if there's one coming to like Highlander your shit?
Like, there's always a younger, faster, better prince, bro.
I have to do this. Sink your heads up. He just absorbs your powers. I'm just covered in your blood, like, no. That is too funny.
Okay, high school. Where yeah. do you, what do you do after high school? Do you go to college?
Yeah, I went to.
Where do you go?
I went to Baylor University.
Baylor, all right. Yeah,
which is very Christian and Southern and, you know.
And did you graduate from Baylor? Did you go mm-hmm. all 4 years? What'd you major in eventually?
Come on, bro.
Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. You stuck you know with it. Okay. All right. You didn't go to like fucking Mass Comm like I did.
I went to Mascot University. Yep.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I said Mass Comm.
No, I'm saying
Mascot. Yeah.
What did you major in? I'm like, Mascot.
I was a mascot. I don't know why. What I should have gone there first.
Did you not listen to me?
So what is the transition from high school to college like as far as, you know, everything? Are you living, how far is that from where you live in Texas? Did you commute or did you live on campus?
I lived on campus. Yeah, it was about 3 hours away.
3 hours. Okay. Yeah.
And then, I mean, it was fine. I had an apartment my freshman year, which was weird because you're supposed to be in a dorm, but they overflowed. Our class overflowed that year. So I was put in an on-site apartment complex, okay. which was a terrible idea. Horrible.
Do you have roommates?
Oh, yeah. I had three roommates. Okay. We had like a two-bedroom apartment, like two beds in each. And God, we just raged. Jesus.
And are you dating?
I remember
at the
like
time?
I had a party at my house. Like, what am I doing? And like the seniors came over and I was just this drunk freshman. They're like, oh, welcome to the department. I'm like, bah! Like on the carpet. Yeah, right, and they're like, okay, the next day, like the dean was like, if you want to get drunk and vomit on your own floor, and like looked right at me. I was like terrified. Oh yeah, I was an idiot. I just wanted to fit in. That was it.
And you start dating because you didn't date in high school at all.
I dated
in high school,
yeah,
or
I
in
dated
college?
In high school, yeah.
You did?
I did. I dated that homecoming queen for a bit. I dated the captain of the dance team for a bit. Yeah.
And how old were you when you lost your virginity?
Which one?
Hey, yeah, I want to hear both of them, goddamn.
No.
Listen, that is the promo for this show. I don't care what he says. Oh my God. How old are you when you lost your regular virginity?
I was 19, yeah. 19.
Okay,
late.
So you're out of high school.
Late, all yes, right. Yes, yes. I mean, I had messed around with girls, but like, that was 19. Yeah.
19.
I don't know why I did that, but.
Okay. And is that that's what the
terrifying.
Girl you were dating
it was
for
awful.
A little while? It's terrifying
it
no matter.
It was the worst. No. Well, I love that gif, by the way. It was the worst experience. It was awful. It wasn't her fault. I should call her, by the way. I really
How
should.
How many years later?
It's, yeah. Like, technically, still. We're still dating because yeah. I never broke up with her because I came out that summer and didn't. And like, everyone knew. And I was like, we'll just let, we're going to walk away from this way. Yeah. But then it was like it became, it was just bloody and it was painful. And I didn't know what
so
I
it was her first time.
It was
too,
her
then.
First time
yeah,
as
that's,
well.
Yeah.
And I met, like, you know, I was in the theater department. And I said there was this kid there who was in there in the program with me, and he was bi. And I was like, And I just remember, like, kind of developing this crush on this guy while I'm dating this girl, and didn't know what the fuck it was. Like, it was like, that's when I was like, oh shit, here we go. And I remember he like stayed with me one summer, and I was like, hey, I kind of have these feelings. Would you be down with this? You know. And then we did, and I was like, this makes sense.
Okay.
This makes sense. And that's when...
So wait, you were 19 when you lost both virginities? Same age?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Look at you go. Doubling up on that.
Just
that's a big
it,
year.
Get it out of
big
the way. I got time for that shit, man. Just let's bam, bam. What's the next one? This bitch is hustling. I got to get to L.A. and be a comic, bro.
Okay, all right.
So I remember we were like messing around. This is when it gets weird. We were messing around one night. And my roommate walks in. And I'm like, what? And he saw him. I'm like, close the door. And that's when it kind of like started. He went and told kind of some people.
He outed you. Like,
and so it kind of went around. And it spread like wildfire. I remember it was, you know, I was playing Oberon in Midsummer Night's Dream that summer at the Waco Community Theater.
It's so funny. That is one of the names I remember from, I took Shakespeare in high school.
And you don't remember Bottom?
Oberon is, I didn't know.
Jesus.
So you're in this
and
play.
My girlfriend's doing my makeup and I'm just like, don't you fuck this up, bitch. I know I'm a piece of shit, but make me look good. And so it went around. It got to the point where it got so far that there was an abroad trip that summer, and they were at Stonehenge, and some chick wrote, "Did you hear about Justin?" on her Stonehenge postcard. Sent it to
one of the seven wonders of the world. And that's what she's writing about.
Did you hear? I remember
this. Did you hear? Let me mail this across the pond. Everybody back.
You should be here on the eclipse. Did you hear Justin was gay? God. The vernal equinox is approaching.
I thought you were going to say she carved it into Stonehenge.
I got to make
Justin
a visit, right?
Gay in Stonehenge.
That's kind of iconic right there.
You need to get that photoshopped in over there.
I'm like, yes. And then I remember getting in the mail. I was like, what? This is from Stonehenge. God, even Stonehenge knows about me. So I went through a crazy, like, I was outed, you know, it was, I forgot a part. There was the roommate, and then there was the other time where I went to a gay bar, and I got roofied.
Oh.
And I started hallucinating to where there was this old queen. I won't give his name out, but he knows who he is. And I remember going, he would be like, who knows, Justin, maybe tonight will be the night you come out of the closet. And I was just like, whatever, bro.
Bro, yeah.
And then I got fucked up and they were taking me outside. I remember like freaking out, hallucinating. And like at that time he went in and talked to the guy and was like, are you and Justin like fucking around? And he was like, yeah. He's like, and that's how it all got out.
I see.
But the roommate did walk in on me, but it didn't escalate until that next instance.
Got it.
And then
when you say it spread through your
it spread through the
college,
department, the
everywhere.
Teachers knew, you know, it was just
did
like,
it get back to your family?
No, thank God. But I did. I was in the closet till I was about 21 with my family. And then I went. I remember telling myself.
Yeah,
I was,
what made you finally say, look, I'm comfortable enough to
people kept asking me. They're like, when are you going to tell your family? When are you going to tell your family? And I was just like, when I'm fucking ready.
But did you feel extra pressured?
Oh, yeah. I was like, I was turning 21. And I remember getting on a plane to Boston because I was doing an audition for a summer internship. And I got it. And I remember telling myself, I'm going to tell my parents that I'm gay on my 21st birthday over margaritas.
Okay.
So I had it all planned out. So I remember having my birthday. I came back. My mom's like, we're going to go out for Mexican food. And I was like, like, I had to keep my word, right? And so I remember sitting at the restaurant. My dad didn't go. My mom, it was my mom and my sister. I think my dad had the boys or whatever. And this waiter came over, so fucking hot. Ugh, like so hot. Hot.
You still remember it the way you remember
he looked
the
like
devil Sarah lady.
From the Little Mermaid. It was weird.
I know exactly. I know exactly who that is.
Okay, yeah. But yeah. I don't know why that was so quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll take it. And he came over and he was like, would you like something to drink? And I was like, meh, margarita with salt on the rocks. And he's like, all right, cool. And like left. And my sister goes, I think he was like into you. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah. And then my mom's just like, are you gay? And I was like, yeah. And my sister's crying. She's like, I wanted to be an aunt. Now she has four kids of her own.
So
fuck you.
So she's upset that you're gay.
Yes.
And my mom's like,
no, I knew it. And I'm like,
course.
No
your
shit,
mother
mom.
Would know, yeah.
At two, apparently, I was like, one day, mama, I shall play Dracula. And she was like, this is a heterosexual child. Yeah. Yeah. And people will talk about it eternally.
Eternally.
God. I mean, it's so stupid. I am a dumb person.
Let's take a quick break to tell you about our first sponsor, Upstart. You've heard me say it many times. We all know finding out the hard way of getting into debt is easy, and getting out is so hard, especially if your credit score is not great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. When I was in college, all I did was charge. It took me years to pay off. You know you're giving that money back to them, plus interest, you paid them twice, all right? I wish I had something like Upstart back when I was in my 20s in college. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and your job history in the form of a smarter rate. They believe you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. And since it's just a soft pull, it does not affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. And then the best part is once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is top ranked in their category with a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes, guys. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Burrow is probably the sofa you've been hearing about. It's the one with the built-in USB chargers. This is the disruptor furniture brand. This is the couch you get when you're ready to start actually choosing your furniture, whether you're furnishing your first place or graduating from inherited futons and ambivalent Craigslist purchases. I wish I had this. When I became a single dad, I bought a couch, hated the couch, sold it to some college kids for half price. They came to my place and carried it to their place 3 times. It was a sectional. Got another couch, hated it. Okay? Got rid of that one too. I'm on my 3rd damn couch, and I wish I had Burrow at the time. This is the couch that everybody wants to have. Burrow sofas are easy to set up and easy to move. It's a simple assembly. You don't even need tools for this thing. It's durable fabric that's naturally scratch and stain resistant. Great if you have kids and pets. You can be flexible about your seating. Add or remove seats as needed. You can even convert a love seat or a sofa into a corner sectional in the future. And even if you're just starting to furnish your place, a Burrow sofa is the perfect starting point. It makes any space look good. You can customize your Burrow couch to fit the look and seating style you want. You pick your fabric color, the leg finish, the armrest style, and the length. You can add a chaise lounge or an ottoman or both. Burrow's more than sofas. They create all sorts of practical, stylish pieces for your home. They have a collection of affordable rugs, coffee tables, love seats, armchairs, and ottomans. A genius sleep kit transforms your comfy sofa into an even comfier bed. Your guests will love sleeping on your Burrow. Burrow always offers free 1 week shipping and 0% interest financing, which is amazing. Get $75 off your purchase and free 1 week shipping at burrow.com/honeydew. That's burrow.com/honeydew for $75 off at Burrow. Now let's get back to the dew. Okay, now I asked you earlier about your biological father, who you said you then did reconnect with. So you're now, what, in your early 20s,
yeah.
And you graduate from Baylor,
yeah.
And what do you do next?
I became a waiter. I was like a waiter in Dallas for a bit. I did some summer stock shows and some theater around Dallas.
So you never stopped performing.
Right.
Including then transitioning into obviously stand-up and stuff.
Yeah. Later. And I think that was the last, I think when I moved out here, there was like a period of like maybe 4 or 5 years where I wasn't doing it as much as I was used to.
Right. What age did you get out here?
25.
Okay. So
well,
not,
the first time I was 22, I didn't make it the
yeah,
first
I had
time.
The first time too.
I didn't make college, it the first time. The first time just wrecked me. I had to move back home. There was a whole thing. So I came back out here after doing another tour of summer stock in Lake Tahoe, which was awesome. And that's what I remember, like that experience alone and meeting those people and working with those people and having that experience with those people nightly was just a beautiful, because I was on the beautiful Lake Tahoe was our backdrop. It was outdoors, and just all these people would come with picnics and all this stuff. And it was just so much fun. And I got to be who I was. There was a character in a play we were doing, and I made him the most over the top gay character, like cartoonish, and crushed it.
Yeah.
And so moving out here the second time after that, I met a girl named Kate, and she was like, let's move out to LA after we're done with this. And I was like, oh, I kind of did it. I kind of got into the wrong crowd and all that kind of stuff. And so she's like, let's just do it. And I remember I was like, Kelly Clarkson's CD spoke to me that day. And I was like, all right. Let's do it. Because of you. Yep. And yeah, driving the tent. I never take from the sun. that Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson, if you were listening, thank you.
For real. I love Stronger.
As a Texas woman to another. And then, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Obviously. That's a good one.
And so, yeah, I moved out here. We moved into this horrible apartment. And then she wanted to go her separate way. I went my separate way. I moved out to West Hollywood, met a guy. We ended up, you know, having an off-again, on-again relationship for about, over 10 years.
Wow.
And then during those 10 years, the recession hit. It was really bad out here. I couldn't get a job. I remember, like, working at restaurants, showing up, there'd be chains on the door. They're like, we can't pay you tonight. If I got a paycheck, it'd be like, go take it to the money exchange over there just to make sure it goes through. It was awful. That was a shitty time.
Yeah.
I was eating like eggs on toast like all day. Yeah. and I remember we still had cable. And I remember watching a comedy special on TV. Just like a bunch of different comics. I don't remember what it was called, but they were LGBT comics. And I was just like, I remember looking at the TV and I was like, I am way funnier than this. And I remember being like, you know what? I got to get back on stage. And then I made a phone call. I knew a guy was doing a room out in Silver Lake. He still does it. It's called Drunk on Stage. It's at Akbar. I think it's every Tuesday. Go check it out if you're in LA.
Right next
to Silver Lake.
Oh, man. The Mexican restaurant I love.
Oh, that one.
Thank you. Malo.
Yeah, it's kind of by Malo. It's right by the McDonald's there in Silver Lake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he was like, yeah, you got 6 minutes. And I was like, oh, shit. And I just remember taking the stage. I had a friend on a date who came. It was like their first date together. And I was like, oh, and he's like, don't you fuck this up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I did my set. I wrote it. And then I performed it in 6 minutes in front of everybody. And like, it was the first feeling in such a long time where I was like, this makes sense. Like, not since, you know, I guess losing my virginity or being with a guy. It was just one of those little like life paths of being like, this is where I need to be. This dot connects to this dot of this whole story. And so I just remember, you know, doing it. And then, I got passed at the store. And then it's just been a progression of like, you know, here we are. And it's been fun. It's been crazy, but it's been fun.
During that time early on when you're mid-20s, how do you reconnect with your dad? Does he reach out to you? Do you reach out to him? What takes place? And you're out here at that point when it happens, right?
No, that was the first time I was in LA. That 22. Going back to the first time, I had already met him and was like, this isn't my thing.
How did you guys reconnect?
I hit him.
Well,
up.
Not even reconnect, because
I found him on the internet.
But you had never seen him, or you have no memory of him, obviously.
No, at all.
And you found him how?
I found
through
him
Facebook
through a picture. I found him through, I think it was just like I Googled him or something, and his name popped up, and I called him and was like, hi. It was like that classic scene in a movie, you know?
That's what I'm saying. So you're how old? You're 22?
I was 24. 22, 23. Yeah.
And you call him. So this guy, you're doing all this research. He has no idea this shit's coming.
Yeah.
And what happens?
And then, you know, we talk on the phone. It was
what did you say? What's the first thing you said?
Oh, God. I don't even remember.
Did you say I'm your son?
I just
said,
like, hi, it's Justin, I think. Yeah. And he was like, oh, I knew you'd call one day. And I'm like, no, okay.
then, yeah. You've been waiting on this. No,
okay, clearly. I'm like, clearly, I'm the one. The right. child has to call.
Exactly. I'm the adult.
Yeah, nice here. Try there, bro. And then we talk for a bit. And then he flies out to L.A.
Where is he?
He's in Florida. He's still in West Palm Beach. Yeah.
He was like, I just moved next door.
Yeah, I think he like took over his parents' like dry cleaning business. I mean, he's like well off. He's like, he's got money. He's got like a yacht.
Back to the Jeffersons here, the dry cleaning business. Yeah, look at that shit.
And so it's like, I've never asked anything for him.
Does he have any other kids? Do you have any?
Yeah,
he's
an adopted kid. I'm his only biological father. Okay, biological son.
Well, you are.
I am
the
a dad now.
You're the goddamn parent in this relationship.
And
so he flies out here.
He flies out here.
How do you feel about that?
I'm nervous as shit. I remember I quit my job. I had a really lucrative career at the Cheesecake Factory. Is something funny?
What's funny?
What's wrong? You okay?
Wait, hold on. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Hold on. How long? So you reach out, you call. How long are you communicating before you guys decide that it's a good idea for him to come out here?
I think it was like
immediate?
2-3 weeks. Yeah, okay, I want to say
pretty
like
quick.
That.
Yeah, it's very
organized his trip and like he came out here.
You helped with it and everything. And
he did it. Okay. He was like, "I'll rent a car and we'll do a thing."
Is he
going to
stay at your place?
No, we were going to go to San Diego.
But you're going to stay in the same room together.
Oh yeah. We're going here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm doing this because I reconnected with my mother, and then my friend said to me, "When's the last time you spent the night under the same roof?" And I was like, "Great question.
Great question. I've never spent the night." Okay, so here we go.
So he flies out here.
Yes, and it is like this Jay Leno stunt double in
Ray Leno,
huh?
Ray Leno. Is he in the D on D?
Just Hawaiian button down shirt.
Hawaiian, okay.
Down here, chest out, like Florida. Gold chains, big sunglasses, gray hair. Good hair, though.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Dad.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's the name of my podcast. Thanks, Dad. And that's it.
That's it.
That's actually really funny. So then he picks up a nice light blue Thunderbird car, and we hightail it to San Diego. We stay at the Coronado Hotel.
This is the first thing. So you
first
see him
ever.
At the airport. I mean, do you hug? Is it super awkward?
Ooh, yeah, it was like...
Yeah,
oh.
I felt very vulnerable and like...
Oh, it just looked really douchey. It was like, oh, God. Am I related to like my cousin Vinny? Like, what is this? Because I am Italian. It's crazy. But yeah, it's like, oh, shit, this guy's a meatball. And
is Martindale his last name?
No, Martindale's his dad's. His dad's English. His mom is Italian.
So 100%
Italian.
But that's your father's last name.
It's Martindale. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Your biological father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And my grandfather is Wales Cumberland Martindale.
Damn. Wales Cumberland.
And so I was going to be Wales Cumberland Martindale IV. I mean, what the fuck, Game of Thrones? Like, could you imagine coming to the stage? Wales Cumberland Martin IV. I'm like, hello, good evening. My subjects. What a week, am I right? And so, yeah, he pulls up in this Thunderbird. We get in. We go to the Coronado Hotel. We spend the night. We end up going to the lobby, and, like, he just starts, like, drinking and, like, hitting on girls. Blatantly flirting. And I'm like,
how old
is
he?
I couldn't tell you. I
mean, 40s?
40, yeah, early, okay. late 40s. And flirting with these girls, and he's buying him drinks, and I'm like, he's got this like hot Colombian wife who wears Louboutins like back home, and he's just like, yeah, the best ladies, these drinks, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, okay, go back to the hotel. He's like, all right, we're going to sleep. And that's when it's like, okay, good night. And he like gets naked, and I like looked at his dick, right? Because it's like, you got to see your dad's dick. You got to know where that comes from.
He got naked?
Yeah, well, he like took a shower or something.
Oh, oh,
like,
I
left
see.
The
okay.
door.
I was like, he
left
slept
the door.
Naked?
No. He came out in his underwear, but like I was like.
Trying to get a pee for your dad.
Well, because I want to know what I'm working with. Because I'm working with some good shit. I wanted to be like, you are my father. You know, like.
Yeah. Hair and the dick. I'll take them. I'll take them. That's all you're going to give me.
Yep, those are my balls, you know.
Got good firm balls.
Yeah. And And so the next day he's like, okay, I got a trip planned for us. What is that trip, Dad? Oh, we're going to go to Tijuana.
Dad's getting wanting to do it.
We end up in Tijuana. And we end up going to this bar. And we're sitting at the bar. We're like catching up and shit. He's like, oh, I had a private investigator looking for you. This and this and
not
this.
Not a good
this.
One.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, clearly. Like, what?
Not a good one.
And
at all.
Even if they did tell you shit, like, wouldn't you be like, I'm going to get my son? No.
Yeah.
I end up calling family members and meeting them, and they're like, oh, we've missed you. And I'm like, okay. And then we go to this bar and we're talking to this. And while I'm having this heart to heart, I'm like, this is what I've been going through. And he doesn't know I'm gay. I haven't told him. But, you know, catching him up with the last 20 something years of my life. Like someone whistling a whistle comes up behind me. I'm like, yeah, it's finally good to, and a bottle of tequila. Like someone just shoves a bottle of tequila. In my
right face. While you're trying to have this moment with your dad. Whistling all the way up. I know.
I'm like, Dad, what I'm trying to say is.
I'm trying to say, along.
Yeah. So then. So then we end up going to this strip bar where it's daytime.
Oh,
and,
best time.
Oh, yeah.
Strip
the only
club.
Time.
Daytime.
And we're just shit faced. And there's this girl, and they're like, bienvenidos a la stage, Emerald, or whatever the hell. And this girl gets out, she's dancing on this pole, and she's so fucking bad. She's so bad. Daytime stripper.
Yeah.
So I take it upon myself to walk up to the stripper and be like, move aside, bitch.
You got up on stage at Tijuana strip club
sure
in
did.
Front of your just reacquainted father. He just said he doesn't know I'm gay yet. He's about to find out.
He has no idea. He has no idea.
You moved her out of the way and got up.
I shushed a stripper. And I was like, I get up there and I start like body rolling and I'm doing all this shit before Jennifer Lopez did it. No one's throwing money at me. Not one. I think I got like a peso in the dick. Yeah. And that's when security came over and took me off the stage.
That's when it came.
So I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She sucked. She sucked. Someone had to tell her. Knowing glass?
Oh,
knowing glass.
God damn.
So then my dad's like, hey, Justin, here's $20. Go take, you know, go over there. He then decides that he's going to buy me a lap dance. Because I just need to calm down.
Yeah, just settle down.
I'm heated. So I'm sitting in the back of this box with a curtain. And the stripper comes in and she's like, you know, she's trying her best Salma Hayek from, you know, Dusk Till Dawn. And it's just not happening.
Yeah.
She looks like a vampire snake lady.
That is,
but the sun hasn't set.
It might be the greatest strips scene without nudity I've ever
hot
seen
shit,
in my
right?
entire
that tequila
life.
Down
oh,
her leg.
God,
blah, 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 blah. Yep. See, we've bonded on something.
We have, seriously.
And then she starts like doing it and everything. And I'm like, you know what? You're fine.
You sit down.
You sit down.
Let me give you this motherfucking bitch.
I start having a heart to heart with this stripper.
Listen, Tiffany.
I go, do you have kids? She's like, see. I'm like, let me see him. Pulls out her wallet. She's got like 3 or 4 kids. I'm like, you need to go to America. You go. Live the dream. Like a jet flew over as I was saying that. Yeah. An eagle cod. Yeah. And she was like, she starts crying. And I'm like, oh, God. And then the security guy hears her like,
oh,
you know.
No. Yeah.
And so dance is over. And so I get sat out there again. We end up leaving. We go back to the hotel. That was it. The trip's over. We go back to L.A. He asked my roommate, he's like, is Justin is Justin gay? And my roommates are like, you should probably have that talk with him.
With your son? Yeah.
And I remember him giving me $100, and that was the last I ever saw him.
And you never had to, he never asked you out, right?
No.
No.
No, but I'm sure he's found out now.
I mean, he got to know now. I mean, and you've never seen him since?
No.
Or and then it's from crazy. Him either?
No.
$120, huh?
Yeah.
And
120? No, 100.
Well, he gave you 100 and he gave you 20 to get your, to have the heart to heart with the stripper.
And like,
and
my
then
whole
a night
life.
In Coronado. That was what your, that was what your, I mean, if I could put a monetary figure on it, 500 tops, under 1,000?
Yeah, something.
Wow.
Never a birthday card, nothing.
Fuck.
Nothing.
And you're not interested in?
Oh, fuck. No.
Yeah,
no.
I don't blame
I've
you.
Had, I've had,
I mean, man.
Not one. No one. It's crazy because even through, even
I couldn't
like,
imagine
since,
bonding with a child like that, even for, and then not wanting to continue that.
Yeah. Well, he didn't want to do it the first time. So
you're right about that.
I mean, my mom took me for a reason. And, yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And, what was I going to say? Oh, shit. Oh, when I'm doing the road, every now and then I'll run into a Martindale who knows him and knows his side of the family. Like they're cousins and shit. So they'll be like, yeah, you know.
And he's never popped up at a show or anything you've been there?
No. God. I don't want him around.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I don't, I mean.
So who are you closest to in your family? Your mom?
My mom.
Are you close to your stepfather?
No. No. I mean.
Are they still together?
No, they divorced. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just, we're cordial. It's just, we have nothing in common. You know, he's remarried. His wife is very, very sweet.
So your family
I saw them at Christmas. Like, okay, I saw
them
at
nice.
Christmas. Yeah.
So your family is your mom and her family.
Which I'm the last of. All her family's dead.
But your dad, there's no one to keep kept in touch. When you met those people, like, oh, we've been wondering about you, whatever. Nobody followed up.
No. I take that back. There's actually a couple, I want to say they're from New York, and they every now and then I'll post something on Facebook or Instagram and they'll chime in with a comment.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You know, whatever.
I hear you. But you said you had a pretty rough 2019.
Yeah. My grandma died. That was rough.
And that's your mom's mom then. Yeah, what happened? Do you want to talk about
it? Yeah, it's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah. She was a great woman. She really was. She had a cool life. She married my grandfather. My grandfather ended up working for Elvis Presley.
Wow.
Yeah,
doing
so,
what?
He was the horse manager of Graceland.
I've seen those horses at Graceland.
Yeah. And so this is actually a tattoo I got drunk with Jessamay Peluso in San Diego.
And what's it say?
Sugarfoot.
What is Sugarfoot?
It's the horse that my mom had to give away to Elvis, even when my granddad told Elvis not to take my mom's horse.
Elvis took your mom's
horse?
Well,
Priscilla fucking wanted it. She's like, I like that one. And he was like, sorry, man, I'm Elvis. Bye. And she was like, Sugarfoot. And like to this day, you know. So I ended up getting it.
That's a great, terrible story.
Yeah. Right?
It's a great, terrible
story.
It's
so traumatic.
That's what
this
whole podcast is.
Yeah,
great, terrible story.
Yeah. Elvis took my
mom's
horse.
Did they keep the horse named Sugarfoot?
Oh, put it down right away. Just shot it right in the head for fun.
No.
They ran out of TVs.
No, I mean, I meant that they keep the name Sugarfoot, or did they call it something else?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you're talking about Elvis killing the fuck.
He's just like, yeah, I'll take it from here. Ah, right in front of you.
Sugarfoot.
And that's the day my mother never rode again.
So your mom had a horse that Elvis gave to his daughter. How about that?
Maybe.
I mean, that's terrible.
I don't think the daughter was born yet.
Oh, okay.
Lisa Marie? No, I don't think she was born yet. This is like in the 60s.
Wow, okay.
Like that.
So that's your grandfather. He's working for Elvis.
Yeah, yeah. And then they had a son who died really, really early.
Is that why you went to Tennessee from Florida?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because my grandfather took us. And then, you know, she had a brother who ended up
living in like the Memphis area then? Okay.
Yeah. And then my...
I've been to Beale Street.
Yeah.
I love that little area.
It's cool.
To visit.
It's a lot different. Yeah, to visit.
To visit. Yeah, I would.
But it still has a heart.
I couldn't live there.
Yeah. It has a heart, though.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I love it down there.
And then she had a brother who ended up dying at like 14, I believe.
Your mom?
Yeah. And so it was an accidental suicide, but like it's also been called a murder. Like it's one of those dark family secrets that nobody wants to talk about. But I think I know what it is, so I'm gonna keep
You'll
that in here.
The case, oh, okay.
I think my uncle was gay, so there was that, and I think he didn't know how to deal with it, and that's what I think.
Oh, that's terrible.
And then so they grew up, and then my grandmother cut her lawn every day. They and her husband ended up divorcing, but they were still friends. They had a friendly divorce and stayed friends. And then he passed away in 88. And then my mother and my grandmother, you know, had a hard time together. They always fought. And my grandmother, I loved her. She was always very, very sweet to
me. They always lived close by each other, though.
Yeah, it was always just fucking like Southern bitch drama. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, well, you did this. Well, I did not. Well, you. And it's just shut up. Just return the cake pan. You know what I mean?
Yes,
it's
like, fuck off. Yes, totally. Yeah.
It's a dumb bullshit. Both your lemonades are good. My sweet tea recipe is better. It's like, bitch. So anyways, my grandmother had diabetes, and she had heart problems, and she just was getting old. She lived in like this assisted living community, and she had a caretaker with her.
How old was she when she passed?
Oh, I think she was 83.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so. You're welcome, Nana. or maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, she's 83. And she had a heart attack. Then she had a stroke. Well, she had a stroke. Then she had a heart attack when they tried to revive her.
Oh.
They ended up cracking her ribs for emergency heart surgery. And she was better. But at that part, like, the damage had already been done. And then she had another heart attack while she was trying to get through that one. So it was very fast, very sudden.
That's the last heart attack did it. In the facility, though.
Yes. Yeah. And so the caretaker ended up calling my sister, and then my sister called me, and we had to make a decision. It was like my mom and her weren't talking.
Oh no.
Hadn't talked in a while. The last couple of years, every time my mom would call, I'd be like, have you heard from Nana? And it's just like, no.
But you guys would communicate.
Yeah. And then it just kind of got to the point where she was schizophrenic, like, so she would see shit, mm-hmm. and she'd be like, the white wolf came by the bed the other day, and I'm like, what?
You're like, I met that bitch when I was eight. I was she like, fucking said, you stupid fucking kid.
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about,
yeah.
Nana.
I was like, I've seen her too. Yeah, yeah.
I haven't stopped seeing that bitch, Nana.
Yeah, yeah. The white wolf. You stay away from my grandma. I just throw a stick.
The motherfucking white wolf comes back. Goddamn.
Yeah. Just waking up naked in a field. I killed again. And so.
Oh, my God.
All these dead cattle. So then we had to make a decision to fly out and take care of some shit. So it was actually a really good time. My brother Aaron was in the UK with his wife because he's in the Air Force. So unfortunately, he couldn't come. But my sister and my brother and I, we all went.
That's nice. Did your mom go? Did you convince her to go?
No. Yeah. And so...
That's tough.
She was on life support, and it was just... It was hard. And, it was like...
So you guys had to make the decision to take her off life support.
And it was so quick, and this is actually, like, the first time I've kind of talked about it. It was hard. It was really hard. Like, having to, like, the nurse came in and was like, is this what you want to do? And we were like, we can't see her like this. Like, she's not going to, there's no recovery from this. And she could hear, like, she was coherent, like, she wasn't talking, but you could see that there was something in the back of her mind that was just like, oh, shit. And it was hard to watch. Like, I've never seen somebody pass. Like, in the movies, it's always like, you know, and if you're like that and you get that, congratulations, because I did not get that at all. And it was, my sister freaked out. We were all, and my brother, who fought in Afghanistan, he was like, this is how it is, guys, because he's seen it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember like afterwards, I was just like, you've seen that? And he's like, oh, yeah. When I was in war, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. You
know? Yeah.
So we had to go from kids, from grandkids to grand adults. And we had to pick out our clothes. I did that. We had to pick out our flowers. We had to put together, you know, a funeral in this like small town. And not a lot of people came. There were some people that came, but like, you know, all our friends are dead. So it was like a small service. We went and buried her. I got hit on by the pastor.
Hey, pastor coming back too.
Oh, girl. This pastor was thirsty. Yeah.
At the funeral? At
my grandmother's getting put in the fucking ground. It is a soggy Tuesday, and I have to deal with a soggy bottom. Shit.
He's just hitting on
Oh,
you.
He was like, so, when you go back, you know, okay. I'm like, okay, my brother, my sister are there, and he's just
throwing
like,
dirt on the coffin.
I mean,
and like, when you fly out.
He's just like blatantly flirting. And I'm like, dude, my brother's like, are you, I look at my brother, I'm like, are you seeing this? And he's like, oh, yeah. And, he's like, so, are you a member of the alphabet community? And I'm like, really?
I don't know that. What is that?
LGBT.
Oh.
He's like, yeah, I've been to a couple gay bars, you know? I'm like, yeah, no shit. God. Could you pick a better time? Steve? I'm sorry. Pastor Steve.
Pastor Steve.
God. And then... it's so crazy. And I've my sister and I have talked about this. I've definitely felt like a guilt because, you know, I'm like, I just don't want her to hate me. So I went to a psychic not too long ago and I just sat there and it was, you know, her name's Brittany. She's fantastic. She's that, of course it is, right? Two T's. And, I'm sitting there and she's great. Really cool. Really cool chick, and she starts laughing. She was like, there's a really loud woman here. And I was like, I'm right here. And she's like, no, you know, she's very loud. She doesn't want to be here because there was like tarot cards and shit. And I was like, okay. She's like, oh, it's your grandma. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And she goes, she loved the flowers. And I was like, and I didn't even tell her anything about my grandmother passing, nothing. And I'm like, because I love the flowers too. They were good flowers. And she was just telling me, you know, everything's fine. I made the right decision and all that kind of stuff. And it was very like, I remember crying because I was just like, whoa. And I went home and I called my sister and I was like, I talked to a psychic today. And she said, Nana, love the flowers. I mean, I have never heard my sister break down the way she did because it was really hard on her. Yeah. She has four kids on her own. You know, it's like she really stepped it up like a boss and handled that situation, and I'm very proud of her for what she did.
That's nice of you to say.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask you, did your mom ask about the funeral? She nothing? Didn't even, how was it? Was it a nice
I mean, she...
Does she regret it? Have you
I don't know. She says she doesn't, but I was just like, I could never... I don't know.
That's not something
It's just hard, and it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of petty, and... I mean, my mom and I have fought so many times and we've had our arguments and stuff, but I'm like, you got to know that when your time comes, I will be there.
Yeah.
And I couldn't imagine. It was just like, cause I mean, the only people she really had there were her grandkids, the three out of the four grandkids. Yeah. And it was just, and I went back over Christmas and the last day I was there, I told my sister, I was like, can we go out and see Nana? And so we went back there and I was just looking at where I came from and I was like, there's my grandfather, my grandmother, her son, you know, and you're just kind of like, oh wow, this is where I came from. And then I looked and I was like, oh fuck, we misspelled Nana.
Nuh-uh. Did you? Did you?
N-A-double-N-A. Nana. I was like, oh,
you've never known
it. And yeah, we all proofread the tombstone and we were just emotionally drained that we, oh, three kids, that's were just true, like, that's, ah, that's fine. Like, didn't even care. Nana. N-A-N-N-A. I was like, oh, this is why those books are falling off my shelf.
That's why that loud lady was here.
That's why I got a sage. Yeah. I got to buy some rocks after this.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah. So that was definitely a, that was definitely a hard lesson, you know? Not a lesson, but it's just like
it's
an experience. It sticks with you. It's a traumatic.
Oh, yeah. All trauma.
And you have those dreams afterwards, like in every horror film where it's like, you could have helped me. And you're like, no. And you wake up and you're like, and you got a trick next to you and you're like, get out. You know,
I call my mom. I had a dream last night that was meant for you. Goddamn.
I know.
I
right?
got to stop having your motherfucking
yeah,
dream.
Yeah.
Mom.
Yeah. It should have been you. The she-wolf's like, ah! I'm like, no.
You mentioned that it was quite a 2019. So I want to switch gears with you and talk about you had a high school reunion. Now, I haven't been to any of my high school reunions. I think there actually, it's not true. I think there was like a I don't even want to say it was a reunion. It was a 5-year like get together. That was held. But since then, I haven't. My brother went to one. They said there weren't a lot of people that showed up.
Oh.
What this was last year for you?
Yeah.
So what year?
This was yeah. We know.
What a, you know, reunion.
Okay. Reunion. We'll get together.
You know, a bigger
yeah.
one.
Yeah, bigger yeah. reunion.
All right. So where, and you go to this in where, Texas?
It's in San Antonio, yeah. So, like, I'm staying with my brother. I'm so excited. Staying with my youngest brother and his girlfriend at the time. And then, like, the next day we had all planned this. Like, my sister and her kids were in town. So it was like we had this, like, get together in this really cool area in San Antonio called the Pearl Brewery. Shout out to the Pearl. So awesome. If you get to go to San Antonio, it's just beautiful. It's like an old distillery that they've turned into like a hotel, and like
that's cool.
It's gorgeous. So I'd like a suite, and we just kind of day drank all day, but like there was like wine and beer and all, and I'm getting shit faced. I'm like, I have a good buzz, and my friends came and picked me. I had my suit. I had a, you know, I was going to show up in a suit. You know, I was working for E now. And like, so I get there and a girl, the bartender girl knew that I was, you know, knew me from the show that I hosted.
That's nice.
No. Come on now. I'm going to look right into my camera and just say, I'll see you in hell. Best thing to say to someone. I love that line. So she's like, oh, my God, I love your show. And she goes, what can I get for you? Whatever you want. I was like, you know what? I'd like a nice Texas bourbon. That's what I want. Just a neat or just one rocks. Just. She's like, oh, yeah, I got it right away. She pours it. It was delicious. I couldn't even tell you what the name of it was. But I had about two or three of those. People are trickling in. No food yet. I start seeing my old friends, like my friend Ann Ferringer, who she married Mike Ferringer. They were high school sweethearts, and I've been in contact with them. My friend Ann Dias, who lives in New York now. Marjorie came, one of the other mascots. So I'm just hooking up with all these people I haven't seen in, you know, years, decades. And it was just like we kind of picked up right where we left off. I remember like crying and everyone's like, why are you crying? I was just like, it's just what the gang's back together. Like just, and then the waitress comes over and she's like, oh, so the bourbon that I've been giving you is $75 a glass.
No.
And I'm like, no, because that means it's strong as shit. So I, at this point, am overwhelmed with emotion. They're playing like all of our music from back in the day.
And you're three of these deep.
Yeah, plus a full day with like kids and family just, you know, having beers and shooting the shit. I have a panic attack. And so like, but not like a like, oh, I'm hyperventilating. It's a drunk panic attack where I was like, I need to get out of here for a second, because it was kind of like I got thrown back into that year. And I was like, whoa. And my life is so different now. Yeah. And it's just, it was just a lot for me. Because it was such an age that I defined myself. You know what I mean? And now I'm here and I'm defining myself. So visiting that is just, it's like that scene in Back to the Future where, in Back to the Future 2, where she walks by herself and she's like, I'm young, I'm old. And they pass out. That's what I did. But with a little bit of shit. So I go outside. I guess I just walked downstairs to the front door. I walked outside. I stood in the parking lot. I breathed. And I just started peeing.
What do you mean?
Just peeing.
In your pants?
Oh, yeah.
You started peeing yourself?
Full piss. Warm, hot, reunion piss.
Reunion piss.
In my shoes.
No, dude.
Yeah.
Who's out there with you?
No one.
All right, no one's out there.
I'm just standing there like I know how it works. I know how it's supposed to work. And the fact that I didn't be like, I should take my dick out and pee like all the other times. Why did I just, just stood there and was like, Hold on.
Yeah, I was going to say, now you have a decision to make. Are we ghosting the reunion?
I try to get back in. They're like, no, you're done. And I'm like, why? They're like, because you're covered in your own urine. And? It's Texas. It's what we do. They don't let me back in. So I'm like, fuck. So I go over to my friend's car, right? She left the passenger side unlocked. I get in the car, pull the chair back, lay down, and pass out. I wake up to the sound of, you're in my car. And I'm like, what? They get in, they're like, dude, you're in my car. And I'm like, what? It's not my friend's car.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say. You're just some strange dude who's pissed himself. And they don't know if you pissed yourself
to
in their
day,
car.
To this day, they lock their doors. Every time.
Every motherfucker.
Every
that one.
They were like, never again. That was their car 911. They were like, this will never happen again.
Oh, God.
And so just puddles of piss in their car.
Oh, no.
My friend ends up leaving. She's like, we're going home. I get home. I think they got me in the shower. I get in the bed. I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-mm. To get on a plane back to LA to go cover Jim Jeffries' show as a correspondent at Politicon. So I roll on a plane. I don't even want to know. To the person who had to sit next to me, I'm sorry. Oh, it's not my brand. And I roll off. Get in bed. The car comes, picks me up. We go down to the convention center. And I didn't realize that it was the Republican Politicon. So I'm there hungover, looking at a bunch of MAGA hats like, no. Oh, and by a bunch, I mean like 20. They'll tell you it was packed to the rim.
Yeah, right.
20 fucking tools. And I have to go interview them. And I'm like, so... And I'm at one point, the camera caught me like almost puking on a woman, but that was real.
That was real.
Because I was talking to her about like immigration, and I like my stepdad's Mexican and shit. And I'm like just all like, I
she's
really,
like, this is what we're talking about, yeah, right here. Yeah. It's making you sick.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. Yeah. And they're like, fake news. But yeah, that was definitely an experience. And to this day, I remember like coming back and being so apologetic to my friends. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And they're like, we got you. We get it. And I was like, okay, so next time I come back, we're not doing that. So, but yeah, I was like, Justin, what the fuck? But I was just, you know, there was a lot going on. A lot of emotions, you know?
So I'm going to take you back there again, because I would like to hear if you could go back and give your 16-year-old self some advice, what you would say to 16-year-old Justin.
Oh, this is so RuPaul's Drag Race of you.
Does they do that, 16-year-old?
You know specifics? They do.
I never watched it in my life, honest. Is it 16 years old? Is it?
Sure.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Or she'll say like,
but every
no,
time...
no, no. It's whatever year she wants. Okay. Like, what would you like to say to 8-year-old Andrew?
I see.
It's 16.
It's always... See, for me, I was telling you, I picked 16 because sitting here for a year now plus, mm-hmm. and listening to other people just talk, 16 seems to be a pivotal age for either something happened to you that affected your life forever, some sort of trauma, or it's already happened and you're now starting to really become sort of an adult and understand at least the beginnings of what's going on. So I'm curious what you would, what advice you would give yourself.
I would say you've done good, Justin. You've really struggled a lot as a kid, but you never identified it as struggling. You just did it, and you went with it, and you went with the punches emotionally and physically, but it's going to get way better for you, and it's going to get way worse for you. There's going to come a time when you don't know who you are, who you can trust. But first and foremost, trust yourself and go with your gut. And you're going to get kicked so hard. you're just going to get beaten up just emotionally, and you're going to think a lot of dark thoughts, but you're going to pull through at the end, and you're going to always stay true to yourself. Like your mom always told you, never forget who you are. And yeah, you're doing it. It's going to take some time, but you're doing it.
Is it?
It's going to take some time. And it's, yeah.
Give me some.
What?
Give me your hand. What you shake doing? Your hand.
Oh.
I wanted to tell you thank you for coming on.
Ow, what?
Come on now.
That was a hate crime.
Come on. A hate crime. I love you, dude.
Cancel. Ryan Sickler. Cancel him.
Thank you for real.
Yes, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Coming on here. And please, again, promote, plug everything you'd like.
You can see me at the Comedy Store. You can follow me on Instagram at Justin Martindale, on Twitter at Just Martindale. DM me if you liked this podcast. I like making friends. And I'm on tour with Jim Jeffries right now on the Oblivious Tour, so check your dates. Yeah. And if you're with me now, thank you. And if I make some new friends out of this, welcome to the ride.
I love it. Thank you.
You bet,
for
man.
Real. I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.